And welcome to PNPnetwork.com. We have with us E.G. Daly, and she, of course, is familiar to all of us. You know, it's interesting, E.G., because a lot of folks may not know you except for the voices that you had, but you got a big splash nationally with The Voice.
Right. Yeah. It was incredible. First of all, it was my favorite show, so I never thought watching the show the last few seasons that I was going to be on that show. So it was very surreal when I actually got on that show and was looking at the audience from the singer point of view as opposed to from my living room television. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's it's a huge show right now. This is one of the biggest shows on TV.
Yeah, it was incredible.
You look great.
Thank you.
You sounded good.
Thank you.
And it was a good ad for your new CD. Tell everybody about the new CD.
Well, I have some stuff that's out there right now. There's like a song called Somebody's Loving You that's out there. But I feel like Breathe is out there, the song that I did on the show, Breathe. And I'm real proud of that recording. And it's up on iTunes. So there's a lot of music out there on iTunes. If you just go to egdaily.com. If you just go to egdaily.com, there's a bunch of stuff on the website that shows a bunch of music. And all that stuff clicks right into iTunes and stuff. So I would definitely say check out Breathe on iTunes and Somebody's Loving You, and I'll be putting out some new music at some point.
What made you choose Blake over CeeLo?
I really liked that Blake didn't know anything about me. I just thought that was really great and sort of just gave me the chance to be anonymous as far as the success I've had with my other work, but this was sort of like getting heard for the singing voice, which was something that was, you know, always something that I just loved, and, you know, to be heard and acknowledged and have a chair turned, let alone two chairs turned for that was, I don't know, just something about that I really liked that Blake didn't know. And also just country music. I love country music, and I love CeeLo too, so I would have loved to work with him. But if I had to pick, it was definitely Blake for me.
Well, it's interesting to note that I actually have one of your old CDs out.
Wow. Which one?
I don't remember the name of it, because I should have actually taken it out of the room and brought it over here, but I didn't want to confuse things.
I wonder if it was Tearing Down the Walls, which is a...
It might have been.
That's a really great record. If anybody can go check that out, the songs are really beautiful.
It's a great album, and I thought, wow, this is it. I had you on the show many, many years ago.
Oh, cool.
And we talked about something else that you had out, and also you did your Tommy Pickles for me.
Right.
And I played that for my kids. That was around Rugrat time for the kids.
I know, waiting for me to throw Tommy Pickles on this show.
It's interesting because I had you on, and I had the woman on to play the nasty Rugrat.
Yeah, Angelica. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Angelica. Uh-huh. And I had her say to the kids, "You better listen to your dad, or you know I'm gonna get you or something." And I played it in the car when they were acting up, and boy, did they be quiet really quickly.
Do you have teenagers? Is that what's going on?
It worked.
Do you have teenagers? Is that why?
Well, no, they're older now, yeah. But
right.
But when back then they were younger, and they were they were influenced by Angelica,
yeah,
and Tommy Pickles and everybody. So
that's,
you know,
pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. Now you also did Buttercup and the Powerpuff Girls.
Right. Yeah, they're actually going to be releasing some new Buttercup Powerpuff Girls stuff. We just did a big, huge Powerpuff panel at the LA Convention Center a few weeks ago, and we have some kind of a special, but I can't say much about it. But all the Powerpuff fans have been waiting and waiting for that, so that's pretty exciting. That's going to be coming out. We'll start doing some press and stuff on that as well. It's been great.
I also remember you were in one of those Babe movie. You did a Babe movie.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Babe too. I did Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah. What happened to the original Babe?
Chris Kavanaugh was an amazing voiceover actress. She just kind of didn't want to do the business thing anymore. She moved away, and she just went off to do other things that felt more right for her. And then her voice was replaced by Nancy Cartwright, who does Bart Simpson. So she ended up picking up on Chucky's voice in the later seasons of the Rugrats.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually was just thinking about it. I had you on the show in the late 80s.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was the mid to late 80s because you actually had a song that was on the charts then. It was called Say It, Say It.
Yeah, I did.
And
right?
It was in the Billboard Hot 100 at the time. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was a dance club type of music.
That, yeah, it was the number one all over the world, that song.
Yeah.
Which is
So, I mean, I knew you had some stuff, and you also did some music that was in the soundtrack of Scarface as well.
I did, yeah. I did a lot of.
So
I
you had that music career already.
I did. It just hadn't really been seen as that. I'd done it, and certain music people knew that I was doing music and would call on me for music, but the world or America didn't really put the pieces together until The Voice. And then once I got on that stage and I was able to do little Tommy Pickles and mention that I was Dottie and he was Big Adventure, then sort of all the pieces kind of came together for me at that moment with my singing.
It's kind of cool. I'll tell you when I was reminded of this, because my son was playing a game a while back called Scarface, The World Is Yours.
Uh-huh.
And there was music in it, and I said, I know the woman who's singing that. It was your songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I have a real affinity for soundtracks and movie, film, score, and I've always either composed music for them or been asked to write and compose or sing them for different soundtracks. I actually had songs on them, like my Sister's Keeper soundtrack. I do a lot of music for Nick Cassavetes in his films. That's one of my favorite things is music for film, and I try to write like that, music that just sort of moves you. Like, that's why when you listen to, let's say, the Tearing Down the Wall CD, the songs are really moving. They sort of take you on these little journeys. So, I did a lot of soundtracks. Like, I just did a song in a movie soundtrack called Yellow that hasn't come out yet. But, I've always been doing the music. I just hadn't really been seen. They hadn't put the face with the voice for that one on yet.
Well, see, people, you know, you're even being kind of shy here because you've done some stuff that everybody out there would know, like Mind Over Matter, which was in Summer School soundtrack. Some people from Lace Around the World album.
Lace Around the Wound, yeah.
Yeah, and one of my favorites was a song that you did on the Breakfast Club soundtrack called Waiting.
Yeah, that was a great song.
A great song, yeah.
Yeah, amazing track. That was produced by Keith Forsey, who did a lot of the Billy Idol recordings back in that day. So I feel really lucky. I've gotten to work with some amazing people, and that's why I thought it was so great that the voice was so open to having me on the show, because they didn't know all that about me either. They didn't really know that. So it was like they gave me the shot to come back and continue to be the singer that I've always been. It's just they kind of gave me that platform and that beautiful stage and that amazing band and that amazing show that's doing so well for me to come and sing on. It was pretty incredible.
No, I know you have two sons, right?
Two daughters. I think their names are like boy names, Hunter and Tyson.
Yeah, but are they? You do have two daughters, and are they in showbiz at all, or are they?
You know, they both are actually. I've been in the studio with both of them, and right now I've actually been my older daughter, who's 17, has actually been We've been writing some music, so we actually been in the studio recording her and one of the songs we're doing together, which is so cool. And she's a great writer as well as has a really beautiful voice. And my little girl sings like a huge fat voice, like, you know, a giant voice like Adele. She's got this really deep, soulful voice for her. Since, you know, she's a little girl, she's been putting them on the internet and people have been following her little voice. So I don't know, it's just incredible that they're both doing that. They're both artists, all the way artists, just like mom.
Now, are they using the Daily name or are they using your real name?
Well, Hunter, my daughter Hunter uses Hunter Daily, and my little girl Tyson just uses her name. We just call her TT. She's just like, we just kind of nickname her TT. But she still uses her dad's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, everybody I talk to that's in show business always has kids that they may not be singers or something, but they're always artists. They're always someone who's creative. It's in the blood.
You know, they're around it. You know, I always tell everybody I was in labor during Rugrats when I had one of my daughters. I literally did Rugrat lines. She heard me in my belly. She was born from a tiny little 1-inch baby to where I gave birth like hours after Rugrat session. So I always just say they came into the world sort of sitting in studios and exposed to music and acting. And I always sort of had them right there. I never put them aside and did my own thing. I sort of just kind of always had them around because I didn't want to separate myself from my kids.
We mentioned earlier this morning that you were coming on the show, and we had quite a bit of emails from people wanting to ask about different things. So one person wanted to know about Valley Girl. They said it was one of the coolest movies they ever saw.
The coolest. Yes, it was. It was, I think it was one of the coolest movies, not just because I was in it, but it was an amazing movie. It was just so timely. It was so beautiful. It was actually a really low budget movie, but it just was amazing. The soundtrack was amazing. It was just like all the stars aligned on that movie. So I agree with them totally. And again, not just because I'm in it, but it was just such a well-done little film for no money and broke Nicolas Cage's career and sort of took all of us into another place where we were working a lot at that time period. And it was just great. It was just a great script.
And it actually became iconic, and so did the song that Frank Zappa did with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was iconic. That soundtrack was one of the best soundtracks of all time, the Valley Girls soundtrack. So I was just so glad to be part of that movie. And we didn't know doing it that it was going to be that great. We just thought, it's a fun movie. We're going to have a blast. And it turned out to be just this great cult classic.
We've got talking about cult classics, we have a question from someone from Florida. Wants to know what it was like working with Paul Reubens in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
What's that person's name?
I don't know what the name is. I didn't look at it. I just got the location.
Yeah, I just like to say hi to everybody. Yeah, Paul Reubens, I mean, yeah. If you guys are following, you guys got to follow me on Twitter because we follow each other, and he's constantly, we do little tweets back and forth and send little funny pictures of each other with each other. It's really funny. So if you guys are Pee-wee Herman fans, follow me at Real EG Daily on Twitter, and you'll see some stuff from him and I. But he's amazing. He's just super talented, and he's genius, and he's way beyond talented than what we even think. I mean, he's a great writer. I don't know if everybody knows that he actually wrote those films, and, you know, he creates all that stuff. So he's just a genius, funny, big kid in a grown man's body, you know.
And I should mention that was someone named Tracy Ellertson who wrote about The Valley Girl.
Oh, hi, Tracy. Yes, yeah. I agree with you, girl.
Yeah. And I don't have the name of the other person, but someone else wanted to know if you're going to be doing any more movies.
Absolutely. Like I said, I have one that I already filmed that's called Yellow. I have a funny part in that. And that's a Nick Cassavetes directed it. And that I'm not sure when that comes out. I think they've been doing the film.
What's your role in that?
I play a character named Aunt Nettie. And the movie has got like Jenna Rollins and Melanie Griffith and I'm one of the family members of this really crazy, particularly crazy family. So you'd have to see it, but it's pretty crazy. And I got to do some funny special effects CGI type stuff with my face, and that was pretty funny. So I don't want to give too much away, but I'm not sure when that comes out, but just keep your eye out for it. It's Yellow. It's called Yellow, directed by Nick Cassavetes. And as far as the other things, just a lot of voice work, a lot of new voice projects, and the Powerpuff Girls other special coming out, and some new music that I'll start releasing at some point. I want to give my song "Breathe" a chance to breathe more.
That would be good. Faith Hill did a nice job on it, and so did you. So
she really did. I'm a big fan of Faith Hill's too. So I want to thank her for that song.
Someone named Jackie wrote in, and she wanted to know how you keep in such great shape, and wanted to know if you've had plastic surgery.
Well, thanks, Jackie, and I appreciate it completely. And I'm a big believer. For one, I work out. I love to work out. I try to make it like a lifestyle thing. I just always do it. I don't feel good if I don't do it. I think it keeps your body right. And I do cardio bar, which is a great exercise. It's sort of dancer-based and cardio. And I do classes at the gym, and I do hikes. So I do all that. And I think plastic surgery is great if it's done the right way. I've done Botox here and there. I mean, I'm 52 years old, so I do little tiny things to sort of keep my face. I do peels. I do mild, you know, skin treatments so that I keep my face and skin fresh. And I think, you know, if somebody hates their nose, do it. You know, if somebody has, like, really, you know, bad eyelid, saggy eyes, do it. I'm a big believer in, I haven't done a lot of plastic surgery, but I've done some mild, like I said, I've done Botox and some face skin treatments and stuff, whatnot. And I just think, whatever, if you feel better and you're not destroying your face by looking strange, do things to make yourself look good. I'm a big supporter in that. I think it's important to keep yourself up.
So when did you change your name from Elizabeth Gutman and make it Elizabeth Daly, and when did you decide to go with EG?
When I was a little girl, my brother Ron would call me EG because EG stands for my real first name and my real last name, so he just sort of nicknamed me EG, and I think just the label people would always hear him call me EG, and they're like, why does he call you EG? Because I was going by Elizabeth Daly at that point, and I said, I don't know, it's just a nickname. And they were like, oh, we really like that. And I don't know, it just sort of stuck. And Daly was a fabricated name that I got from a commercial agent when I was about 8. And that name was sort of just thrown on me one day, and I was sort of like, oh, that's funny. So my name just sort of came faithfully in all these different random ways, but it sort of stuck, and now it's just pretty much Ege or EG.
Do you think you would have been as famous if you were Liz Gutman?
I don't know. Names are significant. I think your name has a lot to do with things, I think, in a weird way, but, you know, knowing me, yes, probably. I would have always been doing something artistic, whether my name was Joe, you know, Joe Blue, or, you know, I think no matter what, I would have been doing something and probably hopefully have made it successful.
Well, I know when I talked to you in the late 80s, I remember saying, wow, this woman's beautiful. She stands out in the crowd.
Wow.
Well, that hasn't changed at all. It's still the same.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
So that's pretty good.
Well, that's really sweet. So, you know, yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I'm going to have to, follow you on Facebook, and I'm MediaMan2009.
Oh,
so
gosh,
if you want to follow
me,
that'd be great.
Let me, I don't want to forget what that is, so I have to write that down. What was that? Say that one more time.
MediaMan2009.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
What we're going to do is once this is all up on pmpnetwork.com, we'll put the link up everywhere. So, and we'll put a link up to egdaily.com as well.
MediaMan2009. Yeah, my link. It also, like I was saying, if they go to egdaily.com, my website has so much trivia on there and so many videos and so many clips and so many pictures, and it's pretty fun. It's like you'll kind of be like, wow, I didn't remember she did that or did that. So go check out egdaily.com, plus my Facebook and Twitter buttons are on there. You can link onto those. And
we will do that, and we'll have everybody go to egdaily.com and go to iTunes and download Breathe if you can.
Yeah, download Breathe, another song called Somebody's Loving You, and come follow me at Real EG Daily on Twitter and like my page on Facebook and all that.
It is a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks so much. Have a really awesome, beautiful day.
Take care. You too.
Bye. Bye-bye.